Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on UMFM 101.5. I am Brian Svensson, joined on the bullpen phone by my pal Chris Zook. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like we're swapping with Mike. I wasn't available last week, and then he's not available this week. And this is what we do, right? We pinch hit sometimes, right? So
yeah.
So you'll sort of in the role of Michael, and I will just be me.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing is, right, it doesn't matter which one of you is away, I'm always doing a different role. You guys, no matter what, get to do the same roles every time. But if he's away, I have to do what he does. And if you're away, then I get to do what I normally do, but it's not quite the same.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you get the short end of the stick. I think you're great at being my call. If that's a great compliment to you, Brian.
I appreciate it. That is a compliment. I couldn't step into his shoes. The Big Easy's one of a kind.
I will say this. He has big shoes, literally.
Literally big shoes.
So you probably couldn't actually step in the shoes because I think he's about a size 11 or 12. He's got big shoes.
If they're 11s, I could.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
I got 10 and a half, so 11s aren't a stretch. I wouldn't feel out of place in 11s. If they're 12s, that's too much.
Hey, speaking of not out of place, I wanted to start with this with O'Neal Cruz.
And I've large men also.
And very large, right? So I've been holding him in, and I'm sure a lot of people, if you're in a fantasy league and you're in, let's say, a dynasty league, or you've had this guy for a while, right? He's been one of the top prospects, and there's been a whole bunch that have come through, right? But this was kind of like the last kind of really big top prospect. You know, your Bobby Witts, your Julio Rodriguez were already called up. Riley Green got called up just recently for Detroit. But O'Neal Cruz, how about, and I know it wasn't his debut because he played a couple games, I think it was last year, just at the end of last year or two years ago. So it's not officially was his debut, but it was his debut for this year. How about that? I believe he's on a streak of, as we're taping this on a Thursday night, his first six games of having an RBI for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I don't know how it's possible if you're in a fantasy league that somehow someone hasn't scooped him up yet, but if somehow some miracle that's still available, please do, because this guy's a joy to watch. Did you see what he did in the first game?
Oh my God, he's so much fun. Today, didn't he pull off a diving throw and an absolute rocket to first base, or diving catch and a rocket?
Yes, but his first game was, I think he threw, like, his first ground ball he took, I think he threw it about 300 miles an hour. I'm just joking, but it was like 100 miles an hour or something to first base.
It's like the hardest thrown ball from shortstop this ball. Year.
And then he wrapped a kind of almost a triple. He tried to leg it into a triple, but it was like just a rocket to the left field corner there. And
he's a good ball player and he's fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, these, we always champion this, right? This is, we want the new blood. We want people to, you know, one, we always want them up in the major leagues if they're ready. And he was ready again, but
ready last year, but Bob Nutting is cheap.
But they waited, I think it was like the second period that they wanted to wait for another carryover, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But at least he's now in the majors. And if you're on a fantasy baseball team that you have him, you're happy. Now, I'll tell you this. I will say, full disclosure, I actually sat him. I'm in a weekly league. And I just didn't know, hey, you know, I knew he was getting called up, but I'm like, yeah, how's he going to do? Well, he's already lighting it on fire, right? So, I mean, the good thing is it's still June. There's still 3 months away, but just exciting to have that because you know, there are a lot of prospects that don't pan out. And, you know, this is only the first week of, you know, really back into the majors, but just fun to have, you know, your kind of the big prospects making an impact early, right? That's what all we always hope for, right? I've heard this thing, which is crazy, and we're gonna get to you, Jays. Don't worry, Brian. But let me just say that he's been compared to Aaron Judge, which is crazy, right? Just kind of the statue, right? He's a big guy, 6'7", like that.
Yeah.
6'7", right? But I mean, I know we don't like the Yankees, and they're just historic what they're doing this front. But have we talked about Aaron Judge is going to break the Yankees home run record of Roger Maris?
If he can stay healthy, probably.
He's at 27, right? He's at 27 before the All-Star break. And it doesn't extrapolate. Can you convert that? No. And usually, you know, you get to the dog days and they don't do that. But he's hidden. I mean, yeah, you get Yankee Stadium where you can get some cheapies. There's no doubt about that. But he hit a couple like against Tampa Bay earlier this week.
He doesn't get a lot of cheapies though, because he's a righty Yankee Stadium. And left field of Yankee Stadium is cavernous.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying is, you know, if he could, you know, take it to the other side. But that said, is like he just hits bombs, right? Like and again, the Yankees just today, tonight they squeak out a victory against Houston, right? They're down. They just seem to have this knack. You know what? I mean, you're as a Jays fan, like unless it's an epic collapse, they pretty much have won the division, and it's
that's right.
June. Like it's crazy, right?
But well, they'd won the division well before it even entered June. They're on pace for 125 wins.
Yeah, I mean, and can that happen? Can that be sustained?
I hope not. Would be historic, I really hope not.
I mean, no one's done more than really 116. I think it's 120 back in, you know, when they had, I don't know, you know, the 1800s.
No, I think
whatever.
The record's 116, right? The Mariners. The American League record is
120.
Maybe in the National League, but the American League record is definitely.
Yeah, it's 116 with the Seattle. There's no doubt about that. The team that never made it to the World Series that year. Just think about that. Win 116 games in the regular season, do not make the World Series, right? It's just anyways, but we talked about that. The AL East is pretty stacked still, right?
Still really good.
Like Boston is coming around. Rays are there, and we're going to talk about your Jays. Let's talk about your Jays. You lead the way here, Brian, because it's been a nice eventful week for the Jays, especially in Chicago.
Yeah. So a couple things. First of all, speaking of a combination of Yankee fans and Jays fans, the Yankee fans are throwing an absolute temper tantrum all over all the social medias right now, because the Jays fans are more or less stuffing the ballot boxes for the Blue Jays for the All-Star game. The Jays
it's happened before.
Yep, the Kansas City Royals have done it.
Kansas City Royals, big one. Yeah,
huge. The difference was, I think that game was in Kansas City.
It was
wasn't
in
it?
Kansas City.
So that's a little different. The Jays fans are just stuffing the ballot boxes for a game that's not in Toronto.
Wait a second. Let's not pretend it's the Jays fans. It's Brian Sanson, right? How many times have you voted alone? You?
Oh, geez, five times a day, right? Every day for every single Jay.
Like how many, like think about that.
They
for
give
a
you,
second,
they
right?
give you five, they give you five votes
right?
a day, right?
Five
so I,
a day
I myself,
and have you voted every day since
every day
it
for
opened?
The past 2.5 weeks? So just call it 20 days, right? So five times 20
that's
is
100 votes right there.
100 votes just by me.
And basically you're voting pretty much down the line, Jays, pretty much.
Not
right?
not pretty much, entirely down the line.
Sure,
Jays.
Why not? But that's the beauty of it, and yet always the that's always the disagreement about it too. But isn't that the whole point about the fan ballot? Like if your fans want your guys in there, then they can, anyone can stack the ballot, especially online now, right? It's even much more prevalent. I don't think it's like go down the list here.
The Jays have two starters that are deserving
for sure, right? Exactly,
right? Santiago Espinal being the second highest voted second baseman is almost embarrassing. I love Santi. He's one of my favorite players. He's having a heck of a season. Him being the second best, and the fact that Bo Bichette is going to be the starting shortstop over somebody like Tim Anderson, yeah, that's dicey. But, you know, George Springer is pretty deserving. Vlad is definitely deserving, although you could argue that Ty France is more deserving, and I would accept that argument this year. I'd say Alejandro Kirk is probably the most deserving. He's by far and away the best catcher in the American League right now, and deserves it. And that's pretty cool. But I mean, the ballots get stuffed all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah, like 100%. And it's not like the Yankees. Like, it's funny if the Yankees, like, if I'm
New York has a huge population.
Like, Judge and Stanton are right there in the outfield, so it's not like they don't. Like, Rizzo's sort of there in fourth or fifth or something. And they got
New York LeMay's, has a huge like, population. Yeah, they complain exactly. All the time, like, oh, they have a whole country backing them. Well, we've only got 35 million people here. New York City's got an enormous amount of people. Well, enormous. They
have about 10 or 15 million right there alone, just in
exactly.
One city.
And I mean, yeah, of course it's
split. But there's Yankee fans all over the place. It's not like they're the like,
biggest fan base in sports outside of the Dallas Cowboys, right, or at least in North
like
America.
I was going to say exactly the analogy. They're like Cowboy fans, right?
Insufferable.
Like
you're any right.
Part, exactly. Like when the Yankees were playing the Rays, Judge hits a home run, whatever, and you would think the Rays hit the home run. There was that many fans cheering on the Yankees in Tampa. Now that said, in Tampa Bay. If they get any fans,
but they travel lucky. Everywhere. Everywhere you sure, go, you see right. Yankees hats everywhere. They're probably one of the most recognizable brands in all of sports. They are one of the most cheered for teams. Yeah, sure. Iconic.
There's no very, very much so, right? So okay, so there's that. But I was actually more alluding to
so. Yes.
That's
so
which we've talked endlessly this year, and we will keep talking endlessly. Let me just be honest. Like, it's outrageous.
The Blue Jays played a baseball game against the Chicago White Sox that went into 10 innings. Home plate umpire for the game, Doug Eddings, decided that he just wanted to go home is pretty much what it looked like, which is kind of interesting because it did go into extra innings. But
he made some really bad calls on big plays, didn't he?
The game was on the 21st of June. The score ended up being 7-6 White Sox in 12. His overall accuracy was allegedly 86% on the whole night.
And that's being kind.
His strike called accuracy was 64%, the worst in the majors since somebody started tracking this. His most impactful calls, top of the eighth inning, the Jays had the bases loaded with two outs. It was a 3-2 count. The pitch out was, I don't know, half a foot outside the zone.
It wasn't even close.
It wasn't like, even close. And
you don't have to be an umpire to see that. Do you know what I mean? Like, these are that bad, right? They're just, if you have eyes, you know, that's not a strike. Right?
Yeah. And so the tally ended up being, a 2.03 run favored to the Sox. Like, it added, you know, the calls favored them basically two runs.
How many was there?
However, if you look at the full scorecard, it's both teams that lost runs because of it. The Jays lost almost 4 runs because of his bad umpiring, and the White Sox lost almost 2. It's astounding how bad
it was. Yeah. Because there's multiple times as it got into closer to the extra innings that it was just big times. He was just punching out guys.
He just wanted to go home.
Yeah. But you know, they just kept getting tied. The game kept going longer. He was just like, I gotta throw guys here. Like, it's
unbelievable.
And so, okay, now explain the next day. Do you know that story?
Yeah. So the next day, day game, Blue Jay, instead of Charlie Montoya going out to handle the card.
Happens, right? The manager usually comes out.
Usually, right? Yeah, occasionally, it's occasionally, right? Like, if it's.
It's something like maybe
when the Braves played the Cubs, they always send out the two Contreras brothers out there. Right. You know, sometimes like the Mariners have sent out Ichiro on a number of occasions. Yeah. It's, you know, it doesn't have to be the manager. It's usually the manager. The Blue Jays sent out hitting coach Guillermo Martinez to present the batting lineup, the card or whatever, and got tossed before the game even started. Okay, I want to know what he said.
The interesting thing is
desperately want to know what he said.
What I saw in the video, which was amazing, is he actually kind of shakes the hands, kind of is cordial for a second, and then starts kind of letting into the
Doug Eddings.
Doug Eddings, right? And he doesn't throw him out, but the other one of the other umpires, like I think the first base umpire.
No, it was the home plate umpire that tossed him. It was the home plate umpire for that
game. Oh, for that game. Right, right. But wasn't Doug.
It wasn't Doug.
Right. And so, and just like then just lose it. And it's just like, I have never seen, like, that's very, I can't remember the last time.
I don't think
got thrown out before the game.
I don't think anybody's ever been thrown out before a game, but if I had to put my money on someone, probably Billy Martin.
Billy Martin, I would say.
Or Lou Piniella.
Or Earl Weaver could have been one of those two. But Sparky Anders, one of the old guys.
I've never heard of a guy getting tossed before the game started. I desperately want to know what he said. Just something along the lines of like, you were a bum last night or something like that.
Well, just like, hey, how's the strike zone today? He might have said something just flipping like that. Do you know what I mean? Because they know, like they just.
Umps are the thinnest skin.
Well, not only that, but they just know now, like there's so much analytics around this, right? Like you can't get away. But also it just, again, you just need eyes. You don't even need the analytics. You just need to know. You're not even close to being the plate, right? And there's guys that are sorry, this happened this week too. I think Dylan Cease was I think it was the other side where he's like literally was down the middle and he goes, that was literally he mouthed, that was down the middle.
Yeah, where did that miss kind of?
You know, and it's like so when the pitchers don't have an idea, let alone the hitters, like it's
embarrassing.
It is, and so these guys want to keep their jobs. I don't know what they're doing because they're not.
Bad calls happen in all the sports, right? Obviously, the how bad
we just have a Stanley Cup final that people are, you know, going nuts.
There were two blown calls in the game that happened on Wednesday alone, right? And in the Stanley Cup game, there are blown calls all the time. NBA's got blown calls. Sure. Soccer has blown calls, but you know what? Those umps take it on the chin and dish it back, right? The umps here have the thinnest skin. You know, you could just like say something along the lines of like your mustache is crooked and you're getting tossed. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
to be you can't be both that bad and that arrogant.
You have to be somewhat accountable. There has to be some responsibility. Like the quick hook
is
ridiculous. It's really ridiculous because what are they doing? Because they think they're trying to set the tone or we're in charge, and all you're doing is just saying, you're not admitting what you're doing is wrong.
You're not holding accountability. you're just embarrassing yourselves. You're showing that you just not only you bad, you're not willing to admit you made a mistake.
Let me go. Do you have anything else? Because
it sounds like you've got something.
You go because I got something after. So it's okay, all good. So, I want to segue out. So don't worry.
Talking about in a really bad segue.
Hold on
segue,
one second. But, we're in a tough, Michael's giving us a 30-minute constraint. How are we doing here?
We got 15 minutes.
Perfect.
No problem. Speaking of bad, yes. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's where I was going to go a bit. All right.
Sure. Shohei Ohtani.
Showtime.
Did some good things.
No. See, again, here.
I did some unprecedented things.
I want this noted a bit here because, you know, you said sort of last year was a bit of a gimmick.
I still think it's a gimmick.
You're ridiculous. Historic. We're talking about, I watched some of the games, right? They're very late, especially playing on the West Coast, right? So hard to watch. So thankfully the MLB, TV hasn't put all of them to Apple yet. So you can still watch some of them on the app, right? And so let me just say this. He has eight. He hits 2 3-run homers, two bombs to get them into extra innings. He has 8 RBIs in this game.
Yeah.
And they still can't beat the lowly Royals at home. He is the first player since they were saying 1920 to have 8 RBIs in a game and your team lose. The Angels, I just looked this up. They are 5 games back of a wild card. 5 games back, okay? They have your Lord and Savior. Nelson Trout. Plus a guy who not only does that that day.
They have the 2 best players in baseball. And they still managed to find ways to lose games.
The next day, he's pitching on
8 innings, 2 hits, 0 runs, 0 earned, walks 1, strikes 13 out, goes 1-for-2 at the plate with 2 walks on top of that. Angels still managed to lose the game.
They were celebrating their 20th anniversary of winning a World Series, which might be another 20 years the way this organization is running here. You have 2 of the greatest players right now of this generation. Let's just say that right now. Because what Shohei has done, like back-to-back next, he gets eight RBIs one day. He gets 30. He hit, that's a career high. And I'll give the manager credit. He kept him in. He could have pulled him after seven, went to the eighth, got another strikeout and stuff. Trout's mashing it there. He's got 20-plus home runs again, right? And these guys can't win. They can't get – they're not going to win a division. Forget about that. That's over already. But if they don't make it when there's an extra playoff spot this year, when they had the start that they did, right? Remember, they were in first place in May. It wasn't long ago. It's crazy. Maybe it might be good maybe to go on the East Coast, because I think it gets lost a bit, sort of what Trout does and what Shohei does, because it's in the West Coast.
They have Mickey Mantle and Babe Ruth on their roster at the same time, and they can't win baseball games. If this doesn't just prove the point to people that MVP should not matter what team that the guy's on, I don't know what does. It should not matter at all, because you can have the two best players in the game now on your team and still be a losing baseball club, because it's an individual sport masquerading as a team sport.
Right. But you can't have but those guys can be MVPs, right? Right. Like that's why they won in years previous. Shohei won last year. Trout's won numerous times.
Because without them, they'd be like Cleveland Spiders level of
40 wins. Right. Exactly. Unbelievably think about that, right? bad. Think about how many.
Both of these guys are going to put up 10 wins above replacement this year. So just like take whatever number of wins the Angels win this year and subtract 20 from it. And that's what they should be.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean, if people. I'm sure that, because you just don't see enough. But if you have a chance when you can see that team, because unfortunately, unless something changes, you won't see them in October again. Like,
I don't
and then here's the deal is, if
understand.
That happens, Shohei might leave, right? Because then
wouldn't
you, right? If Trout didn't sign that massive contract, wouldn't he be like, there's got to be a certain point as you could do all the accolades. You're playing for championships, right? You want to at least get in the playoffs to do something, right? Like Trout has had, I believe, 3 games in his whole career in the postseason. It's crazy. I mean, he's had a career. It's almost been 10 years now.
It's embarrassing. He's the best player in baseball, and Ohtani's the second best player in baseball. And they just can't do it. They just can't get it done because the rest of the team is that bad.
It didn't help that Rendon just got lost for the whole season again, right? So there's a bust of a huge signing, right? He reminds me a bit of like Pujols or Griffey Jr., right? Huge contract, and he's only played like maybe just over 100 games in the last 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. It's crazy bad. I mean, how are you going to do, you don't know these things, right? But it's just maddening. If you're a fan of those players, especially, but if somehow you're an Angels fan, I don't even know what to say. I mean, at least you won one, 20 years ago. So good for you. Right. But, that's early in that. Hey, let's get back to your Jays for a second here.
Sure.
How are you they've kind of righted the ship a bit here. They got some guys back. Have you feel good about sort of where they're going a bit here? I know we're still middle July-ish, getting to the end, or not July yet, end of June, getting to July. What do you think these guys are doing? They're all right?
I think the Jays are good. Yeah, I don't really have much to say about that. The Jays are good.
Yeah, they're solid, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're good. I mean, they're not going to beat the Yankees because nobody's going to beat the Yankees. But they're good enough to put a scare into them, I think.
Excuse me, what you said? I believe they're 12 games back right now. What do you mean?
No. In the playoffs.
Not in the set. Oh, okay.
In the playoffs. I think they're good enough over a 5 or 7 game series.
Yeah. But that's the whole point about this, right? Like the Braves showed it last year. And many of the teams, the Nationals, whatever, like all you need to do is get in the playoffs. Then it becomes a bit of a crapshoot, right? You get on a roll, you get some good hot pitching, the bats heat up. Yeah, sure. I mean, the last year, the team no one wanted to face was the Jays, right? If they would have made the playoffs, they could have made some noise.
They
right?
need help at the deadline. They need another starting
this,
pitcher.
It's too
and
bad
they need
Michael's not
they need,
in today because I wanted to talk a little Twinkies.
Okay.
Because his team, they've had a rough spell here. They actually got out of first place for the first time a long time this year. Cleveland has come charging up the inside rail, looks like here. And the
Guardians are good this year.
They are a bit, but I mean, Jared, I mean, I'm sure he's excited because I think they're ahead of schedule and Chicago's really bad this year right now, right? But yeah. Do you think somewhere in there they're going to right the ship? I mean, I will say this. I think you and me both are happy to hear. They've been yelling a lot of fire.
They should have fired Tony.
Oh,
they should have fired LaRussa. They shouldn't have even hired him.
Well, yeah, but that's another. But the problem is last year they did well, right? So you're not going to get rid of him that this year. But you could this year. But I think right now is like he's locked in. Like if you didn't get rid of him by now, like you've already had a couple firings, right? Girardi and Madden. Then why wouldn't you, you know? If he hasn't been fired by now, because this team is way underperformed. And if you don't fire by the All-Star break, what's the point?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right? Because you're losing. Because, you know, you have like you can do like the Nationals where you can make that run, right? You can kind of from here. Could you still make a run? Sure, you could, right?
Sure.
You could play 700 ball or 650 or whatever. And, you know, especially with that extra wild card now, you can squeak in there. That's all you need to do. And I'm telling you right now, there might be a team that we don't know about yet that we haven't talked about that's going to squeeze in there and, you know, maybe, you know, give a run, right? I mean, you know, you got your usual suspects and stuff, but, right? That's all you need is that like someone like Boston, right? Like that, you
Please
know,
no.
They're scuffling there, but yeah, I know. I don't want to say that either, right? But you never know, right? Because then they don't, you know, maybe they just out hit someone.
I mean,
right?
The Red Sox do have a plus 55 run differential, which is better than the Blue Jays, right? You know, other teams
no
that
one's
are
talking about them, right? That's you know, they're under that radar. They're
the
really
Padres and Giants both have pretty good run differentials as well. Obviously, not you know the Dodgers run differential, which is the only team that might have a prayer at stopping the Yankees. But you know, the Houston Astros have a pretty good run differential. The Braves still do. I mean, they're good baseball teams out there. The Cardinals somehow managing to do things. I don't know, but you know, there we are.
Remind me if we're all back next week is that I wanted to talk a little bit on his Twinkies because they blew it an epic one. I think they were up 5 a couple of nights ago against Cleveland and then they lost at home too. Right. And they lost it in gave up 5 in the 9th or 8th, I think it was the 9th, and their bullpen is just, I mean, I'll be honest, it's been a bit of smoke and mirrors with Minnesota this year, and it doesn't help that
they still have a positive run differential. They're a good baseball team.
I mean, that alone, they're someone's got to win that division. Let's just say that. You know what I mean?
By default,
exactly. One of these three teams is going to win it. It ain't going to be Detroit or Kansas City. And let me just say this. I will say this straight off. Kansas City could be the worst team out there. I mean, there's some bad teams out there, but Kansas City is.
That's a debate we can save for next week.
We could, because I'm telling you, it's not looking.
There's
so
some
good
bad, here. Bad baseball.
Hey, do we have a couple minutes before just talk pity party before we're done?
I actually wanted to, we've got a couple more minutes. Just wanted to tip my hat to a couple things. First, I wanted to tip my hat to Pedro Martinez for, he donated his 1997 Cy Young Award to the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame.
Did not know that. It's great.
And they inducted Jeff Francis into the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame this year, last week. So congratulations.
Colorado Rockies, right?
Mostly yeah, he pitched for a couple of teams, but mostly.
I think it was where he was good. It was with the Rockies, if I remember.
Yes, you are correct.
That's great. Good for him. That's awesome.
Jeff Francis is one of the guys that I do remember. I do remember watching. But he pitched almost his entire career with Colorado outside of a 1-year stint in 2011 with Kansas City.
There you go. That's what I want. That's right.
Kansas City, yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Good. Tip the hat. I like that. That's fantastic. Oh, actually, I'll also tip a hat. Mad Bum reached 2,000 strikeouts for his career.
I don't like him, but it's an impressive accomplishment. So good for him.
I'm not saying the person. I'm just saying the accolades on the field, right? So
understandable.
I mean,
yeah.
Still quite a career, regardless of that. There. How's the pity party going? We're good on the baseball now, all right? Yep. We're almost there. So you've been doing live a little bit lately.
I've had a couple of the opportunity
out, right a little bit here and there when you can, right?
Whenever I've had days off, I've been able to come into the station. Not this week and not next week. I go on vacation starting tomorrow, so I have two episodes in the can. This week is good as always. Some good bands, some good music. You should definitely tune in for that, but make sure you tune in on the Canada Day episode next Friday. I've got
You're gonna actually literally be on Canada Day. All right, great.
Yep. I've got local.
Is it all Canadian? Is it all CanCon?
Yes, and I've got local music legend and collector Sam Thompson from Witch Police Radio, and I talked about local music and collecting local music and how to keep the local scene, you know, as thriving as it ever is, and to kind of you know, music preservation about that. So we talked a lot about that and how to, you know, kind of keep stuff Canadian and keep stuff local on Canada.
Well, I know they just had the jazz festival just earlier here in Winnipeg, and it's just we've seen a little bit of acts out and about, but it's just good to have that again, right?
That's
I mean, it's just this is the lifeblood of arts, right? And entertainment, right? So it's great to have that chugging again, and I can't wait for today's pity party, but Canada Day pity party. That's even going to be better.
That's right. And what are we going to do, Zook?
We're going to play ball!
Strike three, you're out.